burdens that are lifted, when we go there and take them to the Lord and leave them there, as Brother David preached. Well, the wonderful opportunity it is, again, to be in God's house, to open up His Word. Aren't we thankful we have a copy of His Word? Does it do us a lot of good, though, if it isn't open and read or listened to? God has given us a wonderful time in this stage of life to just trust Him, look to Him. Dark days out there, of course. God expects us in this lifetime, while we're living, this very moment, to take advantage of every opportunity. I want to thank Miss Sherry Riddle. Today I was worried about that flag. I didn't want to put it on the ground. I don't like U.S. flags on the ground. Even though it was the daughter, and Miss Sherry Riddle said the Lord moved on her heart while I was preaching to go and purchase a frame to put it in. So I appreciate that. Just people minding the Lord. That's what it's all about. Turn your Bibles, please, again to the book of Daniel. We'll be going back pretty much where we left off this morning. Remember, we had concentrated on the fact that we're trying to understand more and more about God's Word and how we need to stand against the wells and the lies of the devil. Of course, we wouldn't believe the devil were to tell us something. He is so shy. He comes at us and gets us discouraged. And we don't understand that a lot of times it's from him. And just like he got Hezekiah discouraged when he was sick. The enemy, of course, the enemy is used by Satan. So they wrote him a letter to try to pick him up out of his blues. And so that encouraged him. But see, the devil was encouraging him, not God. So he invited them into his house and into the storehouse of God. And God didn't appreciate it. In fact, he made a decree that because of this and the sins of Ahaz, your father, and how he sinned against me, and you've turned the whole nation, Judah, against me, then you'll go with bondage. And so we opened up our Bibles this morning, book of Daniel, and we saw how exactly what God proclaimed and his judgment will come to pass. God has judged and will judge America. He has judged every nation. And God's righteous. His judgments are always perfect. His timing is perfect. When he told Hezekiah, Isaiah told Hezekiah that your people, your children, will be going into bondage to Babylon. And they'll be served as eunuchs there. They're right in the king's palace. Didn't seem to bother him a lot. In fact, he said, well, at least not going to happen in my lifetime. Isn't that tragic? None of us would admit or even want to think about that we would feel like that, much less say it. But every time we're not concerned as we ought to be about our children, because some of the things, if we don't take advantage of the opportunities God gives us, open doors, if we aren't in prayer for our children and our grandchildren, then that's going to happen to them. God has given us an opportunity again. So here they are in Babylon, 105 years later. Probably took 3 or 4 months to get there. Not a word in the book of Daniel so far as in their reading that it was an awful trip. Don't see why God would do this to us. None of that. They knew why God did it to them. God allowed them to go through that because of the sins of the fathers, sins of a nation. Here we are in America, and things aren't as good as they used to be. All of us would have to admit to that. And it's my sin, sins of the world, sins of America. And if God's judgment is on America, and I really believe it is, as Daniel and the Holy Spirit did not write about the past too much about the discouraging things, he wanted them to have a new beginning in Babylon. Right there in the king's court where they were. A lot of times we want to always hover around, I love it when I come to church, around God's people at church. I love it when they go to camp meetings or revivals around God's people. That's comfortable. There's a lot of other people out there that needs our company too. And I was privileged to be able to work in a place where there's a lot of sinners where I work. And that was encouraging to me that I had the opportunity, and God would trust me to be a light among other people I was around. Well, God puts us where he wants us to go, of course, but some people work in an environment where they're never around the worldly people. And that's good and it's bad, but it's bad for the worldly people because they don't get to hear the things of God. So let's don't be like Hezekiah that only worries about him and his four no more right then. He's not worried about his grandchildren and future generations. So let's take advantage of wherever God puts us. We see in the book of Daniel how we know the story. I preached it not long ago that Daniel went through a time of testing like you and I do. God allows, he orchestrates in the setting we're in right now in America today, he will arrange some testing for his children tomorrow and the next day. And remember when the testing came and the king said, now I've chosen you to train you to be used in my kingdom. And Daniel was. But you have to eat and partake off the king's table. That was a big test. Because if God hadn't been with him and he had said no, then he could have been put to death. So God allows you and I every day and probably tomorrow to go through a testing. And if we pass those tests, he can use us. And remember, Daniel and the three Hebrew children passed the test successfully. Because at the end of the period of testing, they were found 10 times wiser and smarter than all the other people of the king's court. So if we're willing to endure the testing and follow the Lord during that testing, and God wants to see who we can use, who we can trust. And then, of course, we see a time of trouble. I'm going to get through all this so we can get down to the message today. But the time of trouble was when the king had a dream. God sent the dream, of course. And he wanted his soothsayers, astrologers, Chaldeans to not only interpret the dream, but tell him what it was. And they said, oh, king, not a man alive that can do that. And that was true. But there was somebody that could get in touch with God. So now the decree was, and the time of trouble was, that the decree has already been made by the king, yet because the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and all these other people can't give me my dream and interpret, they're all we put to death. Well, he hadn't talked to Daniel yet because he's still the outsider, remember. He's not been accepted yet. So there's a time of trouble. But he says, go tell the king that I know somebody, and that would be God, that knows exactly. He gave the dream. Of course he knows what it is. And if God gave a dream, obviously he knows what it means, the interpretation thereof. So he passed the time of testing. He passed the time of trouble. But now an important thing was, okay, God knows and God's using me, but there's a time of travail. I have to get along with God. Just because God knows and I volunteer because I know God will help me, I have to travail. And that's where we want to look tonight. A time of travail. We're living in sad times, of course. Time for his people. We're still in testing. We're still in trouble. But the more important thing I want to deal with tonight is the time of travail. Let's look at the book of Daniel in chapter 2. And we're going to see in chapter 2. And let's start reading with verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would shew the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went into his house, and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Not only was he going to be able to spare his own lives and the lives of his three friends, but he was going to spare the life of all the Chaldeans and soothsayers if the dream would come to him. But there had to be a time of travail, getting along with God. That is some of the most important time you and I could spend in a lifetime. Taking time, I know we're busy, our schedule is busy. If you look on your calendars for tomorrow, probably from the time you get up till bedtime, if you don't have a calendar in your mind, busy, busy, busy. But it would be so important, and the trouble will come enough. God will see to it sometimes, and the situation of testing will be so severe sometimes that it will force us to be alone with God. Isn't that a terrible thing to have to say? That rather than voluntarily get on our knees before God and travail for our nation, that he would have to send a test or trouble to us, and then we will seek him, and he can be found, but it's much better if we can just go to him on our own with the burden and the desire. And I've learned in my lifetime, you can't manufacture burdens. I wish I could. I wish I could say, give me a burden, Lord, but it comes from the heart. I don't understand all that. I'm still trying to understand the burden thing. I know burdens come when you see someone that you know, but the burden for America as it is today, maybe that's why God wanted this flag here, that we can look upon it every time we're in service and get a burden for America. We need to have that burden. It's easy to have a burden for somebody that's hurting that you know. It's easy to have a burden if you have a child that's lost and that child's about to face a future without God and about to die or in a wreck or something. It's easy to get a burden. But it's a little hard, if you're like me, to have the kind of burden that we know we ought to have for a sin-sick America. I don't understand that. I'm trying to understand that. And perhaps these messages that God will give us in the next few days will help us have a burden. But now they've got a burden because there's trouble. If they don't hear from God, they die. And they have been sent there for a reason. God allowed them to take that long journey for a reason. They don't understand all the reason, but they volunteered. And when they were chosen, they said, yes, we will learn everything we can because we know God has opened the door for us to go sit among all these Chaldeans, these soothsayers, and even have an occasion with the king once in a while, that God thinks enough of us, Hebrew boys, in the foreign land, that we could even sit there, and maybe somehow, some way, God would speak to heart, and we could do something to let them know there is a God in heaven. That was their desire. And now that opportunity has come. If they can only get with the God of heaven and travail, and seek his face, and God would tell them, they would not take a bit of credit for it. No reason God don't tell a lot of us more than he does, because he knows ahead of time we wouldn't give him credit for it. A lot of us probably say, look what I've done, look what I thought of, da da da. They were going to 100% give God all the glory and all the credit, and God knew that. Therefore, God's going to hear and answer their prayer. Let's see how he does. Verse 19. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. This is how we know what was in Daniel's heart. They did not immediately go back and tell the king, we have heard from heaven. God has answered the prayer. We know exactly why you had the dream, what it means. We know all about it. No, 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 it's not time for that. It's time to glorify God. We're missing out on a lot, I'm afraid, in our lifetime, and talking about me, giving him praise and honor and glory. We come to church and we honor him, we read the word of God, we sing songs, but I'm talking about just a personal time, just to tell him how great he is. Listen carefully how they are going to a personal desire for God's got a plan, and he has a promise that he's going to use them because they're usable. They passed the test. The trouble is just about over with. The travail has worked. And now God has that wonderful, great plan, and it's time for testimony. After the trouble has been conquered, God conquered it. After the testing has been successful, 10 times better than anyone else, and after travail really worked, I got a hold of God, and God answered my prayer, then the testimony begins. That should be a major part of our life, giving testimony to what God has done, what God wants to do, and what God will do if we just make ourselves available for him. Let's look carefully at these verses in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 17 through 23. We've already read some of that. He went to his house, just away from the crowds. That's why I like to... I usually go to bed 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. That's my time. that's by time when the phone's not ringing, nothing else is happening. Open up the pages of God's Word, and nothing is interfering. Just a time of testimony in my house. It's a wonderful thing just to be able to sit and know that you're in direct communication with the God of heaven. And there they were in their house. Three friends invited. Prayer was given. It's going to change these three Hebrew boys, these friends of his, for their life. We hadn't read much about them yet. But you see, Daniel wants to grow them. He wants to be an influence of them. God does. And God's using Daniel, the main person here, because he wants to let them grow in grace and knowledge and let them also know that there is a God that answers prayers. And then in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, now this is his testimony, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom or perception. God has perceived, because he knows my heart, he perceives that I need to grow in grace and knowledge, and when I have travail to him and he hears my prayer, then he knows, and he gives ear to me, and he is blessing God now. He said, blessed be the name of the God, the name of God, forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Might, power. God has prescribed, and God has already known, and his perception is he knows what to do. And now he's letting them know what to do. And it's in their heart to bless the name of God. Oh, the test's over. The ordeal is over. He's not going to die. He knows that now. But you see, it's so important that he gives God all the glory and all the honor due his name. And he can never do that, but he sure is trying. None of us can ever give God all the honor and glory due his name, but listen to his. And this will help us, because this is a prescription. This is a pattern for how we ought to bless the name of God. Look at verse 21. And he changes the time. He perfects the time. The time right now that we have, he perfects it. If we prevail to God in our prayer, and we have a heart desire to serve him, put him first in our life regardless of anything else, and be concerned about what he's concerned about, then he changes, or he perfects that moment in their lifetime. Remember, it's his time, not ours. And the Bible says, and he changeth the time, or he perfects the time, and the season. He removeth kings. He purges them. All powers and all authorities are ordained by God. We don't understand why Putin is still allowed, but I told you this morning, Genesis tells it all. God could have kept Cain from killing Abel. God could have done anything you wanted to, but God's in control, and who's to question him? God done right, he's doing right. God ordains powers. And it could be, he remembered Nebuchadnezzar. The reason Nebuchadnezzar went to Judah is because of the judgment of God. God put a hook in his jaw and said, Nebuchadnezzar, go get these boys and take them over here. Get the whole nation. Get all the things out of the storehouse. They wouldn't make any use of it. Just a false religion to them. They love the other religions more than they love the things of God. So just purge it. Now, Daniel is giving credit. He's not crying the blues. Why am I not Judah? He's not saying, why did I have to endure such hardships, three or 4 months travel? Why am I over here with all these tests and all this trouble? No, no, no. He's praising God. Solve a lot of problems and draw us closer to him if we would just honor him as Daniel is doing. Look what else he does. He perfects the time. He purges all the kings that he wants to, and setteth up kings. All powers are ordained of him. It's not a happenstance that the rulers in the world may not agree with you and I, but you see, it's not up to us nearly as much as we think it is. The scripture says that God purges kings. He removes them at his will. He sets them up at his will. Sometimes he does that to bring judgment on a nation. This is the case of Jesus. It's for a fact. We read it this morning. Chapter 29, the book of 39, the book of Isaiah. He removed a king, Jehoiakim, and now he put another king in his stead, and he does the whole nation, gets him over there to Babylon. Why? Because God does what he pleases, and God does right. But now, my job and yours is to do like Daniel. Give him honor and glory, for he purges kings, he precedes, he has the power to do it. Look what else he says. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. He provides. God has the wisdom to give us what we need. Not what we deserve, because we really don't deserve anything. But in God's power and perception, he knows what we need. And that's why when I pray, I try to say, God, you know my needs. I don't know my heart. I try to major on that fact in my own life. I do not know what I need. I know what I think I need. I could write a book on that. But you see, I really need what God wants me to have. And my job and yours is to have the mind of Christ and get myself in the position to say, you know my needs. You can perform and provide my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So let me be in your will to let my desires be your desires. Whatever you want for my life, that's what I want. Because you know far better than I do what I need, what I can operate with, and how I can glorify your name. And Daniel now still prays. It seems like he's just praising. And knowledge to them that know understanding. All the knowledge. Look at verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. It looks dark out there in the world, doesn't it? I'm not talking about it. Daylight saving times or anything else that after that disappears, the sun goes over the horizon. I'm talking about darkness of the evil in this world. But when the light of the gospel, when Jesus is promoted and lifted up in their hearts and their life, and we tell the world that Jesus saved, and we act like we have been saved with our action, we have that sweetness, we have that fragrance about us. Nobody wants to hear someone point their finger in your face and tell you all your mistakes, because we're full of them, every one of us. He wants us to have a desire in our heart that when we tell people you need the Savior, they can see some tears. They can see that you're really not just saying that to be saying it. You say it because you care. It makes all the difference in the world. Seeking God's face will bring us to that point. And if we don't get that point, we'll never excel. We'll never do anything for his glory. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And he dwelleth in us. The light of a glorious gospel dwells in us. Let your light so shine. His light in us shine to a dark world. And when we come in contact with him and receive what he wants us to know, and we deal with him in the secret of their heart, that part that we don't even know about, and he reveals that to us, and business can pick up for every one of us. We can pray for a nation. We can have a burden for a nation that we never had before. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father, who hath given me wisdom and might. He has been telling God about, I'm thankful that you have wisdom and might. And now he has been a partaker of that wisdom and might, because God's got a lot to give. Remember, there was a song came out one time. It was a so-called religious song. I couldn't stand to listen to it. It said God would bankrupt heaven if he needed to. I can't even perceive the thought. What a fallacy. God could bankrupt heaven. He has everything. My mind don't even want to go there that God would have to bankrupt something. God's got the riches and glory that we need. And all we have to do is come his way. And now Daniel has received it. I was praising you because your wisdom and your power and your mighty and your light shines in the darkness. Look what he says in verse. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, all thou God, my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might. He has plenty to give. He wants to impart. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and God wants to order our steps. If we're willing to let him order our steps, and then if we're willing to allow him, permit him, and we don't question him, and we understand that what he wants in our life, that's what we want. And hath made known unto me now what we desire to be, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now he is praising. He's promising God that he's going to always abide in the work of the Lord. He's giving praise and honor to God for everything he's done, for who he is, for how he's helped him. If we would come every day in their life, and I'm saying you don't, I'm talking about me, if we, our nation, Christians in particular, would just spend more time. Now, I'm not saying don't spend a lot of time. I'm saying we're not perfect. And James says, any man know to do good, doeth it not through him is a sin. So I can't raise my hand or anyone else I've ever known and say, I haven't sinned. I don't praise him enough. I don't pray enough. I don't have enough compassion. So I'm lacking. But I know how to get it. Have a heart for God to intercede to him, because he has those riches and he wants to give them to us if we'll use it for his glory. So that light that he put within us can shine to a lost and dying world. Keep reading a couple more verses. I love this. And I love the things of God. And I love to study people's prayer life. Sometimes I'll just see how Job prayed. Boy, that helps me. Then next time I go through something about a 0.5% what Job went through, or maybe 0.1%, what, I don't know how to pray. And then I like David's prayers. I particularly like Jesus' prayers. I just spend time how he talked to his father, how he taught his disciples, and they'd heard him pray. Can you imagine? They were on the hillsides with him. He was up way before daylight, and they could hear him communing with the Father, and how their hearts must have yearned. Oh, if we could pray like that. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. In this manner pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See where he started? Giving God honor and glory. The needs will come later. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as is the heaven. And now give us this day our daily bread. And then he put in about forgiveness too. And help us, Father, to forgive. See, David knew how to pray. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And when you and I study, now, a lot of people prayed a lot of prayers that obviously they aren't in here. I like Hannah's prayer. She was desperate to have a son. And when we get desperate, we can learn from all these. No doubt there were millions and millions of prayers people prayed that the Holy Spirit never put in the Bible. But he chose the ones he put in there to help us. I mean, really help us. And when we get in those dark places, and when we see those people that were hurting, how Paul prayed, how Cornelius prayed, and how those people prayed, interceded to God, it works. It's a pattern. It's a precept. Once we have those kinds of desires in our heart, and we can pray and give all honor and glory to him. We're reading and we're getting down to verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus in him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will shew unto the king the interpretation. And see, he wasn't just interested in him and his three friends. He said, all the wise men, others. They were getting their hearts, others. A lot of us may not have a lot of time left down here, but there's others that we will come in contact with that we can pray for and help. And he's even praying for these people that wise men and people that were seeking other gods and other means. Hey, he's praying for them too. Now he's going to get going. I want to read to you what he tells the king. Verse 26. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, shew unto the king?" And this is the part I like. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon their bed are these." The main thing you want to know is that I had a little part in it. The God in heaven knows. He gave a dream. And he'll have the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel had already given God honor and glory for it. And now he is telling the king he wants no honor for it. He wants no glory for it. When we can do that in our life, what business we pick up. And I hope every one of us, every day of our life, can say, "Lord, we live in a country that's going through trouble and testing. But you counted us. You opened the door for us to have a burden to intercede and travail." And that's what it's going to take. Travail. Not just a quick nighttime, I lay me down to sleep, but a burden that only God can give for our nation. So the flag of glory can blow free in the breeze, knowing that we as a nation hopefully will serve again. Individually, yes, we can. But as a nation, once again, the majority or a high majority start praising God who give us the freedom that we have. And not have a flag that looks like it's been given to a military person that somehow died along the journey. Because we're pilgrims and strangers in this old wicked world. We're headed home. Not looking back and questioning God about anything. Just looking to the future. Knowing Daniel's going to give the interpretation of the dream, which is the future. The future you and I are living in right now was in that dream. And the future beyond now is in that dream. I don't know how far God will let us go in this, but I know one thing. Right now, I'm having the time of my life just knowing and realizing that God trusts me just a little bit to proclaim His Word and to hear His voice and know that He can use me, a little old nobody like me, that God can use. He can use us all. Would you stand in that, your heads bowed? As Brendan, Brother Ray, comes to organ, piano, whatever God puts on your heart.